Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Who, how, and why? These are the questions we are asking of Paul's thanksgiving, as recorded in Colossians chapter 1, particularly in verses 3 and 4. To whom did Paul give thanks? How did he give thanks? And why did he give thanks? Or maybe another way of putting it, for what did Paul give thanks? The who is easy. He gave thanks to God. The how, you remember, is he gave thanks through prayer and also through public discourse, public proclamation, public epistle to be read aloud publicly to the church. And why? Why did Paul give thanks? And the two things that are mentioned in these verses is he gave thanks for the Colossians' faith and their love. Now think about that for a moment. We've actually looked at the concept of their faith, and we're going to be talking about their love in just a moment. But think about that. Who is Paul giving thanks to? God, obviously. He's the ultimate object of our thanks. There are many lesser objects of our thanks, and we ought to be quick to give thanks to anyone and everyone that has been kind to us, blessed us, helped us in any way. But ultimately, our thanksgiving is always to God, and Paul's certainly was in this case. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. But think about this. If Paul is giving thanks for their faith and Paul is giving thanks to God for these things, then obviously Paul attributes their faith to God, doesn't he? Obviously he does. And also their love as well, as we'll see in a moment. And so please continue to listen to this Tuesday, September 24 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, as we study God's Word together and are able to do so because of the gifts of our radio listeners. Well, back to Colossians 1:3. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. He said, I've been giving thanks to God for you ever since I heard of your faith and love. That prompted my giving thanks to God. So he gave thanks for their faith. Delighted he was to hear the report that the gospel had come to Colossae with the effectual working of the Holy Spirit of God, and the result was that there were believers in Colossae, people who had exercised faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he also mentions their love. We give thanks to God since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints. The word love that is used here is the most common one in the New Testament. It is the Greek word agape. It speaks of a sacrificial love. This is the love that is spoken of in regard to God in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. Paul first gave thanks for their faith because, of course, there would be no Christianity, no salvation without it. We are saved by faith, but we are saved to love. And that's what Paul is teaching us here. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love. And God's Spirit had caused them to receive the gospel with eagerness, with convicting power, with believing impetus, and they had trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of their souls. And the result of that was that they were now exercising love. In addition to their faith, they were exercising love. The love that is shed abroad in the hearts of all of God's people from God, who is the source of love. And so we are saved by faith and we are saved to love. And we need to remember that true love manifests itself in tangible expressions. Love, as I have told our people on many occasions, love is an action verb. In our culture, we tend to think of love as something we feel. In the Bible, love is more often something we do. Again, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. It really doesn't tell us anything specific about the way God felt. We can project that into the word. We can reflect that back toward God based upon our own concepts, but there's really nothing in the text that tells us anything about the way God felt. It's not really an emotional matter. It is a volitional matter. It's something that God decided to do, and not only decided to do, but followed through on. It was a volitional matter that resulted in beneficial actions to benefit the ones that he has loved. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And the same thing is true for us. The Bible tells us, for example, that love is patient. Love is kind. Love causes us to be patient with people. That's not always easy. Harder for some than for others to exercise patience, particularly in the face of provocation, in the face of wrongdoing, in the face of ineptitude, in the face of what appears to us to be stupidity. And on and on and on it goes. We see these things, and sometimes that causes us to be very short, very curt, very impatient. But the love of God will drive us to be patient. It will cause our actions to be the opposite of what we are inclined to do. We are inclined to act one way, but love causes us to act another way. We are inclined to be short, but instead we will be patient and long-suffering. Love is patient. Love is kind. Sometimes we are tempted to be unkind, again, because the person that we're dealing with certainly doesn't seem to deserve any kindness or any consideration, but we remember how God dealt so kindly with us, and we didn't deserve any kindness or consideration from God. But notice how God loved us. Notice how he benefited us. Notice how he dealt patiently and kindly toward us. Notice how long he put up with our stupidity, our rebellion, our disobedience. How often we did things that should have brought down God's wrath upon us, but instead he held back on the much-deserved wrath and instead treated us with incredible patience and kindness. That's the love of God. And because that's the way God's love has come to us, then that's what we are taught to do toward others. The love that God has shed abroad in our hearts is now directed to others. For God, the Holy Spirit, who indwells his people, teaches us to love others in the same way that God has loved us. And so love manifests itself in tangible expressions. It is patient. It is kind. It produces tangible help. Hear the words of Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. How was the love of the Hebrews that the writer of Hebrews is penning this epistle to? How did it show itself? Well, in ministry to others. He doesn't tell us specifically here what the ministry is, but it was practical deeds that were a benefit to the loved object. Seeing a need and producing whatever is necessary and whatever we are able to do to help. To help relieve the burden. To help meet the need. We do that because we love. And we love because God loved us. And we love others because God, the Holy Spirit, has given us faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and transformed our hearts. And so Paul is giving thanks to God because the Colossians are demonstrating love. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. So, who were the objects of their love? Well, first of all, God. That's understood as the object of their faith. Their faith is toward God, the Father, and toward His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who place their faith in Christ also direct their love toward Christ. We love Him because He first loved us. Our faith is placed in Christ because we have come to understand something of His love to us. Greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. Well, that is demonstrated in the highest degree by Jesus Christ laying down his life upon the cross. And we see in this the demonstration of God's love to us, of Christ's love to us. How can we separate the love of God and the love of Christ? Yes, he who gave us his own Son, how will he not with him freely give us all things? The point of that statement is to say, if God gave us the greatest thing, His Son, why would He withhold lesser things? If He gave us the greatest thing that was for our benefit, namely His Son, why would He withhold anything else that was for our benefit? And of course, He will not. He's already demonstrated His love. He loved us enough to give us His Son, so He will love us enough to give us whatever else we need, whatever else will be truly beneficial to us, as God in His infinite wisdom understands our situation and knows what our needs are. So the objects of the Colossians' love were, first of all, God, the Father, and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But specifically here, we are told that their love was directed for all the saints. And the Bible teaches us that the first human claim on the believer's love is the saints, the people of God. And then it branches out from there. We sometimes get it backwards. We talk in broad generalities about this general, nebulous, ill-defined, and often impractical love for everything and everyone, which really oftentimes has no practical expression for anyone. Well, the Bible tells us to do it the other way around. Start with your Christian brothers and sisters. Demonstrate your love first to them and then beyond them to others who are outside the body of Christ. We'll talk more about that, Lord willing, tomorrow. Until then, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.